Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live. If you have something to say, come on in. Have you noticed some strange operations going on in your city unbeknownst to you? If so, bring it forth. 228 area code. Shalom.
Shalom, Elder. Double honors. Yeah, I noticed a lot of stuff going on in our area. First and foremost, I want to say thank the elders for everything that you guys bring forth. And pretty much everything that you guys have been saying over the years, Elder, has been coming to pass. I was a little bit ago watching A Path to the Mark, and you were showing all the empty caskets. And me and my wife noticed over by Walmart that there was a bunch of those set up. And I guess people complained about them because they took notice to it, and they moved those. And then another thing I noticed is they started to move a lot of our brothers out here from the Northern Kingdom out here. But, you know, I see those are our brothers. So I'll just be trying to reach them. But they are replacing our brothers, you know, from Judah, Levi, and Benjamin with our Hispanic brothers, you know. We noticed those streetlights. We noticed the helicopters. Me and my daughter, we've been paying attention for a long time, Elder. And pretty much all y'all, everything y'all been saying.
What city in the state?
Oh, this brother Hayes, son of Judah, from the Mississippi Body, Moss Point,
Mississippi.
Yeah, Moss Point. I live it. Yeah, Moss Point, Mississippi Body.
Hold on, let me switch it so that they can hear you better, okay? Because I think everyone needs to hear. One moment. I'm gonna try something. Hold on. Let's see here. Let's do it this way. Yeah, I'm gonna do it this way. Put it through the roads.
Come.
Okay, say something now, my brother.
Con, seeing everything that y'all have been saying for all these years, I was just watching the past videos from Path of the Mark of the Beast and the street preaching. Everything that you guys have been saying all these years is coming to pass. I remember you showed on that video all those empty caskets, plastic caskets that they started to say was coffin liners. We've seen tons of those at Walmart.
They claimed they were coffin liners. And the same time in 2009, brother, I recognized that there were these concrete in Arizona, there was these concrete graves as if they were to put mass people in case a disease breakout or something, it looked like, near the military area in Arizona. But go on.
And you spoke on that too, Elder. You spoke on that in that video, and that way before the pandemic. But like the street lights, the caskets, them replacing our brothers with our brothers from the 10 tribes to the north, the Northern Kingdom, that's happening. But you know, I see them as brothers. But the ones that's really committed, Elder, we doing everything we can to reach who we can, why we can, and just we out here doing the work. And
okay.
Elder,
a lot of us
look at y'all like.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
We look at you like Moses. Our elders, our bishops,
brother,
our deacons, our officers. Hey, I know, Elder, but we love you.
Which is servants.
We love y'all.
Hey, brother, we love you too, brother. Which is servants, you know. And we're stepping into our calling, and we just ask you to do the same, brother. Let me ask you this, brother. When it comes to the people on the outside of the church there, are they starting to realize that they've been double-crossed by the administration that's in office right now?
Emphatically, yes.
When you speak to the people.
Emphatically, yes. 10 years ago, Elder, I told you, I've been talking to the people. You buried my mama. I'm that op. But 10 years ago, I was talking to the people, and they thought I was crazy. Crazy as a bitch bug, Elder. And now, They told me you need to start a YouTube channel. For 2 years, more than 2 years now, I've been giving them. I said, look, I can't take credit for nothing. I'm blessed to have elders, bishops, deacons, officers who go by that word, who help show us the way. Here's the scriptures. Here's where you can get in touch, or you know, with the body and find out what we know and prepare your family, and whether you take it for truth or you reject it. I did my job.
All praises.
You know, I planted the seed, and then I leave it there, elder. But everything y'all been saying over the years, everything is coming to pass. They don't look at me as crazy no more, elder. And the brothers and sisters that's in this body, is committed to this body, elder, look, I done started a business, and we still struggle. So that's happening. People ain't wanting to spend. We're doing everything that y'all telling us to do. We actually going off of the wisdom. Like Elder Lawyer said, wisdom will be the stability of our time. Who do we trust? We trust our shepherds. And that's y'all, Elder. Point blank.
Well, thank you, my brother.
My officer,
thank
Kishar,
you, my brother. Hey.
Sister Izara, man, Elder Facts, if y'all had done what y'all would have done, if I hadn't had my officer, Sister Izara, Elder Lawyer, that's all I can say, Elder.
Hey, brother.
I'm very blessed.
Hey, brother, listen.
Hey.
We're blessed too, brother, to have you, brother, as a brother. And it's us. It's God's people
God.
To the end. So,
God.
Hey, do what you're doing, my brother. Do what you're doing, all right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And if
all
a handicapped man could do it, everybody can do it. Y'all,
hey, brother,
stick with the elders.
Believe
stick
me.
With the body.
Believe me, you well beyond handicapped, brother. You don't got to worry about that. Believe
God.
Me, you're going to be running through very soon.
Con, Elder, I'm telling you.
All right.
Changing life.
I know it.
We love y'all.
It's coming.
We love y'all.
All right. Love you too, my brother.
All right.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right. All right. Let's see here. Thank you, Dale. He says, I had something on my eyes or something. I don't know. Hope it's gone. Let's see. That was 228. 470 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, sir. Your name and location.
It's Kayam. I'm in North Carolina.
Bless you, my brother. Bless you. We were supposed
yes, sir,
all... to. We supposed to come there this weekend, but we may have to postpone it due to certain circumstances. But talk to me.
Yes, sir. All praise. All praise the highest. And, well, I was driving one day, and like the brother just said, the things that you've been saying has been coming to pass. All praise to the Most High, Elder, because it's like, and that's why even he was encouraging family, you know, the body, the family, to go watch these videos and get your spirit and your temple right. You know what I mean? So you can actually see these things and rejoice. Elder, I was driving by a particular place in North Carolina, so I'm riding, and I see these, like, military trucks. So I'm looking, and it's like it's an offshore, like, military base. So when I'm riding, I'm like, okay. And I did a little videotape, and then, you know, I videotaped it. Then when I got around the corner, I looked to the left. It's like buildings, but it got, like, fences with, like, barbed wires, like, protecting. So it's like, it looked like it's for to keep somebody inside the area, but the buildings look kind of like
saying is the barbed wire is going on the inside instead of keeping someone out. Looks like it's facing more towards the building to keep people in.
Yes, sir. It's like you know how like they got the wire, like the round of wires, like on top of the fences.
Yeah.
So that's what it got on. It's like a fence that's going around these buildings. It's like a whole bunch of buildings. And the buildings look like they
now, let me
tore
ask
down.
You,
it looks like
is this something new that you have never seen before? Does it look like something new that's just newly erected?
I would say that I'm new to the area. I've been here for 8 months, but the fences look new. The buildings don't. The buildings look like it's been there for a while, but they built the fences around the buildings.
Interesting.
And put the barbed wire it looks new. So I was just looking, and it's right by a military base, Elder. You know what I mean? And I did a little, video post of it.
Okay, thank you. Have you asked, maybe I need to see that, but have you asked someone within the proximity, since you're very new, whether or not this is something different? Or maybe you need to just ask some questions for some of those, the residents who already live in there, to see what that is, or are they suspicious concerning certain things, right?
Let me ask you this.
Was there any activity going on there?
No, it's like right by a main highway. And it's like it just seemed like it's in an area where it's like a controlled area, looks like, but it's by a main highway. So it's like, and there's nothing there. His house is close, but that particular area is just like a military type of a small military base with military, big military trucks. And it has like like certain type of looking caskets, or like, you know, not caskets, but like holding quarters or something, like small holding quarters by the trucks. But also, but when I go around the corner, like I said, it's like a whole bunch of buildings that look run down. It looks spooky almost, but it got like new fences around it. So I'm going to definitely ask some of the residents.
Just look into it, because sometimes they do have other military areas that are unmanned where they use for certain training and things of that nature. And sometimes they have spotty places throughout just to do their own small little training. They do that sometimes. They have areas where no houses, and they do special training there sometimes. So it could be that, but look into it and get back and let us know, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, my brother. All right, Shalom.
Yes, sir. Shalom.
All right. What are they planning in your area? Anything suspicious? 917 area code.
Hello, good evening, Elder. Shalom.
Shalom, how you doing, sister? Your name, location?
My name is Adira. I'm actually in Brooklyn, New York. So a lot of what you were speaking about, I actually have seen. It's very interesting, too, because, you know, I live in the Bushwick area, and a lot of Brooklyn has been rezoned because of, like, gentrification and things of that nature. So, interestingly enough, like, where I live, the helicopter patrols have, like, increased. This is, like, something that I've witnessed over the past, like, 2 or 3 years for sure. And then, you know, around certain points of the month, you hear, like, almost like this warning siren, like one of those sirens you hear, like, when an area is to be evacuated. No one knows where it's coming from. No one knows, like, what building it's associated with, because there are a few, like, municipal service buildings where I live. But you hear it constantly. And it's one of those things that kind of makes you go, Like, you know, like there's some sort of exercise that they're prepping people for or what have you. So certainly a lot of the things that you mentioned in the broadcast, like, I've witnessed and seen personally. And, you know, it just brings to mind that, because I've been watching you guys for years now, so it just brings to mind a lot of the street preaching videos, like the brother had said previously before, or even a lot of the lessons that you were talking about where, you know, you see the jack boots coming in the streets, and you see now a lot of the people even that would be a part of, like, the congregations and the smaller churches that you see on every corner, on every block, pretty much, quote-unquote, in the hood. You know, those people are really becoming disillusioned, ironically, as a result of, like, what they see going on with, like, the Jewish Israel, the Jewish, like, Palestine conflict and other things just going on, especially with the migrant crisis. How people are not able to access services, the migrants are, et cetera, et cetera. So you're spot on with everything.
Yeah. Well, thank you, sister. In particular, when it comes down, because the Bible tell you at the very end is going to be confusion, right? And it's usually upon the pastors to actually untangle things prophetically for those who are in their churches to let them know. No, Christ spoke of this. This is what you are to expect, okay? This is what the government is saying and doing, but this is what God said is happening,
right?
Pastors are supposed to really, because Satan usually works beyond an air of confusion or darkness, right? So confusion is actually part of their tactic. So you would think a pastor would be in position to say, well, no, don't listen to what they're saying. Here's what God is saying, and this is what they're planning against our people as the children of God. Let me ask you this, sister. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do the people in Brooklyn outside of the church, because sometimes I like to understand just to get some insight to those who are actually on the outside of the church, right? And I may have a camera and go around and ask some questions very soon, just to get some good conversation going on how the world is perceiving this prophetic time. The people you run into, do they feel that they've been double crossed by the Democrats?
Absolutely. There's a general feeling of, you know, disgruntlement and anger amongst the people, even the people that would fervently support, like, figureheads within the Democratic Party, like, you know, your Obama or, you know, your Biden, et cetera. You know, the elders that, you know, we've got into bitter debates about these things because, you know, you try to bring the truth forward, but, you know, truth brings sorrow. With truth comes sorrow, and with truth comes anger, because you learn that a lot of the things you accept as true are no longer true and factual. And so, interestingly enough, even those people who I've spoken to, or just sometimes on the street, you know, the Most High makes it so that I overhear these things where you hear people saying, like, yeah, you know, they fooled us. We can't get access to things. They're trying to kill us. I hear that pretty much every time I go outside, I hear that. They're trying to kill us. They're trying to set us up.
And you're hearing people say that, listen, you're hearing people saying, actually, it seems as if politically they're looking to get rid of our people.
Yeah, literally.
You hear them saying?
Literally.
How old are you?
I'm 29. I actually just had my first child, like just a few weeks ago, actually. Thank you.
Congratulations. All right, let me place you on hold, sister, because that's deep what you're saying there. It's good to, let me tell you, it's good to be, you know, to hear what people are talking about. Let me tell you, and I know it sounds rough, folks. I know it sounds bad, but I'm going to tell you, the fact that our people are coming to the conclusion that the powers that be aren't in position to help us, the more we come to that realization, that's a good thing. Because if you want to know what the plan was for our people under Obama, we're living. And if you want to believe that it was Obama, then you're still not looking right. You have to understand those who are controlling the strings. The lobbyists who would actually fund wars and all these others that you see operating in the shadows, using our people or black people, even though, let me tell you, Obama wasn't even, he didn't come from amongst our people. So we've been duped with blackface for so long. And people think that blackface now only means a white racist who is mocking us with blackface. No, they changed the optics of what a black face is. They say, you know what? We're going to use an actual black face. It'll still be the racist who's looking to destroy us. All right? But we'll just use an actual black face. Let's see. 469 is good. Let me tell you, the fact that our people are waking up is a good thing, because when they begin to not trust this satanic system, they're going to be searching for answers. And that's when they'll eventually run into the God who stated all of this was going to happen. Okay? The more walls our people begin to hit, we'll realize there's only one way back, only one way out of this confusion. And it's with the God we were attached to, the God who gave us the law. That's what it comes down to. There's no way any of our people should be listening to a pastor who's pushing something politically in his church. That's a double agent. Outright. That's a double agent. Can you imagine the churches Christ was setting up? And every week they reported, oh, this is what Caesar said is the initiative for our people this week. And we just set up our churches for the Caesar's temple's philanthropy programs. Come on, man. These are pagan temples, folks. These are pagan temples. 469 area code. And let me say this. Hold on. Let me go back. 469, I'm going to bring you in. Let me tell you, folks. Brothers and sisters, we should have known something was up. In the 90s and near the 2000s, when there was an uptick of women pastors in our churches. We didn't know that was going to translate politically on the outside of the churches as our, where these women would become our leaders, our political leaders. Okay? Now, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, people can't lie to me and all that and say, well, a lot of these women were doing it because men weren't stepping up and all that. I went through all these generations, and I understand, folks, that's a bold-faced lie. Okay? At every point when women was trying to become pastors, there were resistance. And women were still coming back with, there was Ruth, and there was this, and there was other women who were dealing with the gospel of Christ, who would see dreams and visions, and the Bible says women should prophesy. I'm going to tell you, folks, men were actually fighting against it, and women were fighting for that religious leadership within our communities against the men's resistance. So y'all can't tell me that men weren't trying to, men was fighting it. But then 501c3 kicked in. After 501c3, what kicked in right after that? You got it. The board that would be amongst the 501c3 were the women, since they were more in number in the church, began to vote out the men in the church. Okay? Leveraging the board's power against the male pastors. So when that happened, you know what men did? Men didn't say anything. You slowly began to see men not participating anymore. Men should stepped off and say, since y'all want to wrangle spiritual leadership in our communities, y'all got it. And look at the community now. So what we didn't see was them using that to have these same women become the political leaders in our community, which means the death of a community. You cannot lead a community with just women at the helm. So here we go. But then the men woke up and said, we're not going to do it from those conclaves of Satan. We're still going to step up, but it's going to be from the outside of those organized, evil, wicked conclaves of political deceit. So it's not like the men walked away. The men said, we're going to do it without the political strings attached to be controlled through these churches, because there's a connection between the control of our people and the Democrat Party. So the men didn't give up. The men said, we're going to operate on the outside of you, according to God. And then the women who respect that power and strength are going to say, that's what we've been waiting for anyway. And they're going to begin to leave those conclaves of deceit. Nobody want no woman all in front of somebody, in front of a congregation, try to lead a congregation. Let's see, 469 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, Elder. I spoke enough. Let me allow y'all to talk. Shalom, you're here. Floor is yours.
Hi. My name is Sister Nina Garza. I'm with the Dallas Body. And I live about 30 miles, 25 miles south of Dallas. And it has changed dramatically since I grew up here. And it's a little town, a little country town. It's a suburb. And when I was growing up, it was nothing but country and farmland. Now there are so many warehouses, one after another. There's hardly any farmland left. There is a humongous Walmart warehouse that looks like a prison. If they didn't have Walmart up there, you would literally think it was a modern-day prison. We have an airport that's been here forever. We have our own airport. And I just noticed within the past year, there's a house about, three blocks from where I live. I can walk to it. And it's always been there. It's a Masonic lounge. They have the sign and everything, the symbols, everything. I don't know how long it's been there. Well, it's 90% now. It used to not be like this. 90% now Judah and probably 8% Issachar that live here now. And that's all it is. We have our own, there's a railroad tracks right down the road. It has changed dramatically. Just today when I was coming home, I looked over and one of the warehouses is open. Most of them are empty. They're just sitting there. I'm like, why are all these warehouses here? Well, and it was called something Licorice Company. And I'm like, really? That big of a warehouse for a licorice company? Is licorice really in that demand? You know, and it's just crazy because I can see it. I mean, there's something. You know, there's no need for all these warehouses, one after another. I'm not kidding. We have a huge Amazon warehouse, and it's just all the farmland. Most of all the farmland is gone with nothing but warehouses.
And it's happening right up under our noses, and they're not telling none of you anything, huh?
None of us. And I don't know what other people think. Within the past 5 years, 5 to 8 years, that's how much it's grown, and all the farmland's gone and just all taken over with just humongous warehouses.
Oh, well, something's going on there, right?
And I feel like there's going to, those warehouses are going to be used for something else. They ain't going to be used just for warehouses.
Hey, okay. Well, keep your eye on it and stay away from the warehouses.
I know, that's right.
All right. Stay linked in with the body, all right? All right, thank you, sister. See, there's a lot of weird things going on, and they're not telling the people nothing. I believe that, really, even after the migration crisis are over, these tents and all that, these millions of dollars they put into building these camps will still be erected for whatever else they would like to use it for next. Keep your eyes on this. And I wanted to show you all this real quick, folks, to show you how they were able to, what they try to do continually, I'm talking about the powers that shouldn't be, how they continually focus on dividing our people, right? Right? Because, listen, they should have been gave our people who built America, the descendants of slaves, the tribe of Judah. I'm not talking about immigrants right here. They should have been gave our people reparations. We built the country. But instead of saying we owe you for building the country, they use divide and conquer tactics by what? You know, by deceiving one side or the other. Look at this here. Here's an example. Same thing they did with the black churches. Messed up the black churches, right? By dividing it and saying, you know what we're going to do? We're going to lean on the woman against the man. Look at this. Black woman in the pay gap. So to make our women believe that they care that our women are suffering financially. Folks, how can you fix the pay gap of the black woman without fixing the black man, without paying the black man? Don't you know black women have black sons? See, I'm going to show y'all the con job they put out there to make our sisters believe that they are there to help our sisters. They don't care about the pay gap for our women. We're the only people out of all groups anywhere in the United States where they just focus on separating the black woman from the black man. This should be insulting to our sisters to see something that says workplace economic equity, black woman in the pay gap. This should be an insult. Imagine being paid over one-third less than white men for doing the same work. White men? Folks, it's so bad, they don't even mention the black man anymore. Even in comparison, the wealth gap, they're not even using the black man in the metric. They're saying that the black woman isn't getting paid as much as the white man. They just say, listen, we're not even going to speak. You know why? They know that they can't bribe us or talk us into anything anymore. And they know that men in particular, our people, these men are over the delusion and believing in this system. Okay? That's why. They're going to have to talk turkey if they talk to men. You're not going to just sell men hope anymore. You can do that with women. Men are saying, where's the bottom line? Okay? If you got something for the Ukrainians, if you got something for Israeli and the Palestinian war, then what belongs to our people who built the country? So we're not going to deal with the divide and conquer, and you're using this as a way of having our women believe that you're going to help them in the future, dangling these articles like carrots on a string as if they're going to keep falling for it when our sisters are suffering in the communities. So they're not going for this either. There's a wage gap between the black woman and the white man. They're not buying it either. And guess what? You're making that gap even wider with your so-called illegal immigration asylum thing you're dealing with in the inner cities. You're making that gap even wider under immigration. So what are you talking about? So I'm saying, sisters, understand, do not fall for their political ploys. They don't care about you either, okay? 708 area code. That's no caller, okay? Dante has a comment. Shalom, Dante.
You there? All right, can you hear me? Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, sir, you're live.
Yes, I'm in Houston, Texas. I do not see any tent cities, any camps, but like the previous caller, it's endless warehouses. Absolutely endless warehouses, and the vast majority of them have no they have no labels on them. They're just empty. And many of them you see they belong to Amazon. Allegedly, that's, you know,
okay.
Kind of, but endless warehouses. There's no explanation by anybody as to why there's so many, but that's all they're building.
Brother, I would like to, take a second look also at all these warehouses that are being placed up under the guise of Amazon too, because it can be used for Amazon right now.
Right.
Right. So.
Right.
So that citizens cannot actually question. Well, while these things are popping up all over the place, it's under the guise of it being a place to store things for easy delivery. Well, yes, it comes with that convenience. But during wartime, what can these same places be utilized for?
Exactly.
See, you're not going to question it if they can come with a viable excuse why you are to accept something you would normally reject.
Yes.
So you needed to look at that with a side eye also. But go on.
Right. Now, I used to live in a historically black part of town, and a lot of old houses. And, of course, the gentrification and the houses being built were all 300,000 and above, which is high for Texas, for Houston. Very high.
Okay.
Also, they have government buildings in the black neighborhood. There was a government building that was, I don't know if it was, I believe it said FBI or something like that, but it was a house. It wasn't like an administration building. It was a house, but it said that it was built by the U.S. government, and trespassers would be met with lethal force. It literally had the sign out there that said that, and this is in a low-income, affordable housing, historically black area of town. I found that interesting. And also in that same area, you had many, there's codes where if you build a fence for your house, it can't be over 8 feet. But they would have a lot of the immigrants, their fences would be 12 feet. And you can't see what they're, can't see anything, can't see what they're building. They'd be 12 feet and above. And you're thinking, like, how do they get the permits to be able to do this? And it's right in this old black area of town.
So, well, let me ask you this. Are the people, is the community talking amongst one another? One thing I can give the other citizens of the United States, the communities, I can give them credit for. When something pops up strange in one of these rural areas or one of these suburb towns, there's a town meeting. There's a hall meeting immediately. There's something going on that no one know about. Let me tell you, it'd be the teacher in school conference. They're conversating about something. The teachers are talking with the – but I think we're too disconnected at this point. Or we're at a point where I think we've been beat down to a degree. We no longer care. We're just walking around just trying to, you know, get through a day now. But let me ask you this. Pastors in your community, what are they talking about? What are the pastors talking about?
Yeah. My answer to that question is there's absolutely zero awareness from the people in the community and the pastors. There's zero mention. And if I mention it to somebody, a lot of people, they'll look at me like they're not understanding what I'm saying. Like there's some type of force field just blocking their ears. And it's very, very rare that anybody gives it a second thought. So no, pastors are not, they don't care anything about it and not mentioning it. And none of the people in the community argue.
Well, because that was deep, because I heard on sometime I listened to the other side too, on Fox News, where they say that the majority of the people in the inner city are walking around like mindless zombies. They use that quote unquote, and they weren't talking about any group in particular. They were just saying, and they were laughing too. They were laughing on Fox. Yeah, you know, these liberals are walking around in the inner cities like mindless zombies, and they start sort of cackling amongst one another.
Right.
So that's where we are. That's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if we're witnessing the resolve or the final solution for what the news people are calling mindless zombies. Just saying.
Right.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. No, you got a point.
Okay. Yeah, well, my last observation is the amount here in Houston, Texas, the amount of new build homes, new build neighborhoods out in the suburbs and parts of the town, extremely expensive. And I wonder, and it's always, you know, it's never black people, it's never Judah that are getting into these homes. And I always ask the question, what do these people do? What kind of jobs do they have? Because I have a decent job, but there's no way I have a skilled labor job. There's no way I could afford a $400 house. And they're building nothing but $300, $400, $500 neighborhoods
half a million dollar houses. Yeah, but brother, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. Ukrainians are coming in turnkey. No credit, no nothing. And see, they're able to assimilate themselves more so than what they would call Latino or black immigrants, because unless they speak, you'll think they're regular white people. Man, okay. They're coming in straight into the DMV with paperwork, getting licenses and all of that, getting turnkey. The Ukrainians aren't sleeping on the street.
Mm.
See, when Biden said the biggest issue is that the whites in America will become a minority very soon in a few years, they mean business.
Yeah.
So they're willing to give $500,000 home to some white people who are going to come over and bring children who would have children with their children. Okay, self-preservation to them is more important than money.
Okay,
so they'll give them a home. Now, for our people, we get what the children of Israel has always gotten, okay, from Esau,
right,
the powers that be. But I'm going to tell you, Ukrainians are coming in. They're not sleeping in the street. A lot of those houses, if you get a chance to speak to these people, you're going to realize a lot of people, they're going to have almost no English at all. Okay, that's what's going on. That's who's getting these houses, folks, right up under your noses. And they're going to be getting the contracting jobs, all of that. Watch what I tell you. Thank you, my brother. Keep your eyes open, all right?
Thank you very much. All right, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Oh, yeah, and you know what they said? You know what they told us? They said, hold up. Matter of fact, I'll let him tell it to you. I'll let him tell it to you, fair use. Yeah. I'm gonna let him talk to you about it. Right? Right. Yeah. Let me pull it up real quick, see if I can find this sound bite. Where? It is right here. Uh-huh. Fair use. Fair use. You always had my back. Let's get it again. Here it is. You've always had my back. This is what having our backs look like, folks. Go into the inner city. All right? Go into the inner city, and you'll see what him having our backs are. But don't worry about it. Go to the doctor. You know, go to the doctor, get your prescriptions and whatever they tell you, and, you know, eventually, whatever the case is, you know, get your doses of whatever and see how it pan out for you while the others are distributed. They're the distributors now. And there's not much I can say about that on this, but you can follow what they say if you want. All right? Brandon has a question. Yes, Brandon.
Hello?
Yes, Brandon.
Shalom, brother.
You have a question? Shalom, sir. You have a question?
Yes, sir. I heard you was going to be in the Charlotte area this week. Is that correct?
I was supposed to be, but I'll know something early tomorrow. I don't know. We may have to reschedule. I'm not sure right now. We may have to reschedule. So, if it's for sure, then I'll make a quick video if we're going out to let everyone know that I'll be traveling into the North Carolina area tomorrow. I'll make a short video to let y'all know I'm coming. All right?
Okay, because me and my family are still trying to get baptized.
All right. Well, hey, it's a little cold, but I'm sure we can find some water somewhere. So I'll let you know.
Okay. And another thing, what's going on in my city? I'm actually in Charlotte.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of the streetlights are purple. There's a lot of purple streetlights, and ever since the cough, and I know you was talking about the luciferase, I think you called it one time.
Where it talks about the luciferase or the technology of luciferase, where with those, what they was claiming a lot of things with that purple light, where, you know, it's able to know who's from who when it comes to who made that choice. That's been some of those questions out there by some. But go on. But you're seeing those purple lights again.
Yes, and it's more than what it was before. So I'm thinking they're trying to find who got the mark and who doesn't.
Well, I'm not on this particular broadcast, we can't talk about that too much. But they got new guidelines. So especially when I come on Patreon, do me a favor, take a picture of what you're seeing and we'll talk about it. All right?
Okay, cool beans. Now my wife wanted to clarify something. God,
yes,
Ishaya and the Holy Spirit, they're not one. Or
okay, well, it depends on what you mean by one. Are you meaning that when you say God the Father and Holy Spirit are one, that God is Christ, Christ is God, or Christ and God can be the Holy Spirit? Is that what you're asking?
The first one you said. Yes, Christ.
Okay,
God.
Put your wife, if you don't mind, put your wife on the phone and let her ask you the question.
Second.
It's easy to, you don't mind.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So you were asking a question, is Christ God?
Yes.
Okay, what do you think?
From what I had learned was that Christ is God's son and the Holy Spirit is his active force.
His after force?
Active force.
His active force.
Yes.
Right? Okay, and what scripture is that, that Christ is God's active force?
No, the Holy Spirit is God's active force, and Christ is his son.
Okay, so it's one God, and you're saying that Christ is God?
That's what someone said to me, but from my belief, I was always taught that God is God Almighty, Christ is his son, and the Holy Spirit is his active force.
Okay,
so
active force.
Okay,
when someone say active force, what you got to do is just, let's put that to the side. That's some supernatural madness that comes through philosophizing. It sounds deep. You have a Bible in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's go to the book of John, the 5th chapter.
What chapter?
Verse.
St. John 5. Let me know when you're there.
5.
There.
Okay.
When you go to St. John 5, I need you to read with me. I'm going to let you read it, sister, okay? Read
I don't
the
26. Have my glasses on. Oh, my gosh.
Okay, that's fine. Have your husband read it, since you don't have your glasses on.
Okay.
5 and 26.
Okay. 5 and 26, Brandon. You can read that for your wife, if you will.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
Okay. So what we got going on here? The Father has his own life, and he's given to the Son to have life in himself. Those are two separate beings, correct?
Correct.
Right?
Okay,
so can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's number one. Now, we're going to go to a scripture where all three are present at the same time. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right? You with me?
Yes.
We're going to go a few. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Right? And what you have to watch out, especially these Jesuits, like those of the apologetics and others, they're fast talkers. And they'll try to speak from what you would call an intellectual angle to make you believe they know something deeper or to a higher understanding than others. Don't ever listen to their nonsense, okay? Let's go to Matthew, right, the third chapter, and see what the Bible states. All right, we're going to see all three in the presence, right? You ready?
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. What verse?
Hold on. I'm going there. Let me get it.
Okay.
One moment.
All right. She over here shaking like a leaf in the wind. She ain't want to get on the phone. She gets nervous.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Hey, you know, hey, listen. This is how you get to the bottom of things, right?
Yes, sir.
Right? That's all we're doing here, getting to the bottom of it, right?
All
now,
right.
You're in Matthew 3, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're in Matthew 3. And let's start at the 14th verse, if you will, sir.
Okay, Matthew 3, verse 14. But John forbade him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?"
Come on.
And Yeshaya answering him said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he
read on
him. And Yeshaya, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
So, sister, and lo, the Spirit that's lighting, hold up, sister, the Spirit that's lighting on Christ right here, while he's coming out of the water, is the Holy Spirit, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So those are two separate actions proven the Holy Spirit is separate from the Son who came out of the water, Christ, right?
Right.
Okay. Read the 17th verse. Hold up. 17. Stick with me. Read the 17th verse.
Okay. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased."
So who is this, sister? Is this not the Father saying after the Holy Spirit lighted on Christ that this is my Son whom I've chosen?
Yes,
that means
sir.
Out of all the directions or men in the earth that were sent to do any will or any directive from God at that time, this Son coming out of the water is the one. Correct?
Correct.
So now you hear the voice of the Father, which means all three are separate. They're not the same, right?
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit lighted on the Son. And it's the Father who says, "This is my Son in whom I will." Yeah. So now, so what does it mean when it states that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one? What does it mean by that? Let me give you the answer now. Let me give you, see, what we're not going to do is what they do. We're going to give you the answer that you can answer directly through the Bible, okay?
Okay.
So when someone asks you, well, what does it mean by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being one? What does that mean? Well, you go straight to 1 John, the fifth chapter, because usually what pastors do, they'll read the seventh verse and stop there, which is confusing. So you have to read 1 John 5 and 7, for it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, bear record was they were there before the heavens were made. There was three that bear record. The Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the same three we've seen operating in Matthew 3. And these three are one. Well, Christians get confused and start believing that Christ is God and God is Christ by reading this. Well, the three is one. Well, God is Christ. Well, no. The next verse clears it up with a physical example you and I can relate to, okay? And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and blood. Sister, is Spirit blood? Is blood water? I'm asking you. No.
Yeah.
But if these three don't work together, you don't have a body. Your body consists of what? Blood, Spirit, and water that works together to give life. It doesn't mean that water is blood or blood is the Spirit. It means they're working in union. That's why it says, and there are three that bear witness in heaven, in earth, the Spirit, the water, and blood. And listen to this, sister. Here's the key. And these three agree in one. So when it states the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, they're in agreement as one, like a family should be.
Exactly.
You got that?
Yes.
So Christ didn't come down to do his own will. He said it himself. I'm here to do the will of my Father. I'm here to do the will of him that sent me. Christ didn't send himself. In the Garden of Yosemite, he prayed, Father, let this cup pass me. But if it be thy will, let thy will be done. That means they're going to kill me. I don't know if I want to go through this. But if it be your will, Father, I'll do this. Right? So the Christian church have confused everyone with that madness, with them teaching God and Christ are the same. Now, why did they do that? Why did they say that Christ and Father is the same, sister? This is why. If they can teach you that Christ is God and then put a white man in front of you as Cesar Borgia, a Roman, as your Jesus Christ, every time you see a white man walking down the street, you see God. It was more as a psychological play on the people as a form of supremacy than it was something that could be backed up doctrinally. You understand that? Now,
yes.
This is why in different parts of Africa, in Ghana right now, there's villages, Chapada tell you, there's villages in Africa that, don't forget, the majority of the Ghanaians, when they go to church, they walk to church. They have a thing there that if they see a white man on their way to church, they turn around and go back home. You know why? You have any idea?
Why is that?
Brother.
She stepped away for a second.
Listen, they turn around and go back home because they said that there's no need to go to church if they see a white man on the way to church because they've already seen God.
Wow. That's wow.
Well,
yes.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you. And the Most High name is Ahaya. He was here before anything. The Holy Spirit in Christ came out of him. The same way a woman would come out of a man to make children. Okay, so that was the first bearing record in heaven that would create all we see in the earth today. Masculine. What came out of masculine? Feminine, which is the Holy Spirit. And then what? Life. Those three to bear record as the first family in heaven. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So he did the same in the earth. He had man. Right? Man, out of man came woman. And by them two, bearing record on earth, brought forth life. All life comes from the masculine. It's the man who has both the X and Y chromosome, which determines male or female in the earth. You got it?
Yep.
Thank you. Bless
Thank
you.
Thank you. Shalom.
When are you going to bring a church? When are you going to bring a church here, Elder? We need this every day, if possible.
A church where? Where are you?
In Charlotte.
Okay, we're bringing it there. I will set up a church in Charlotte. I'll do it immediately. We'll work it out.
Because everywhere we've been is just a bunch of phony, fake doctrine that I'm not feeling that. I want to be baptized under the real Christ. Under the real God, I want heaven, the real heaven. I don't want this little sugar-coated marshmallow lollipop stuff they teach in our area.
Well, brother, we're coming. Get ready.
Yes, sir.
All right?
Yes, sir.
Bless you.
Shalom.
And nice meeting your wife, too. Shalom. All right.
All right, thank
Shalom.
You.
Shalom.
Shalom. See, that's how you break mental chains off of God's people. Just the word. Have them read the word. Okay? There's no what? There's no verbal gymnastics to have you convinced and to see it thinking something contrary to the Bible itself. You go into the Bible, that's what I'm saying. Most people don't believe in the Bible not because they've read the Bible, because they're confused with those who claim to uphold it. That's the confusing part. None of what these churches are saying actually is in the Bible. All right? So you go into the Bible, it makes it clear. Father and Son and Holy Spirit is one, just like any other family. And then it goes down to the next verse to give it context. The same way your blood, water, and spirit are three separate, but they work together for life. Water is not blood. Blood neither is the spirit, and either or. They all have different functions, just like the Father has one function, the Holy Spirit has another function, and Christ has an entirely different function. Now, when it says God, you have to realize in the beginning it was the Elohim or the Elohim, which means more than one. It was those three celestial powers working in the heavens before the heavens were created, period. That simple, okay? If you're in that academy, you would have known that. All right, what's next? I'm getting on y'all now. HistoryTimes.org. Be a part of it. We make the Bible easy to understand, and we're taking it in enrollment, so get on in now. HistoryTimes.org. Mika has a question.
Hello?
Yes, Mika.
Oh, hi. I just have a question. I need the antidote for the juice because there are some people in my family I want to help.
Okay, well, I can't talk about that on this particular broadcast because of the guidelines here, but we can all talk about it. Are you a Patreon member?
I am a Patreon member, but the way my work schedule is usually I'm driving same time.
Okay, this is what I'll do. I will take down your number and I'll give your number to a person who deals in that area who can reach out and give you what you need, okay? I'll talk to you about it, all right?
Please, and if they'd like to text it, that'd be great because there's some people that in my family that really need help right now.
Okay, well, you can be the one who, you know, who organizes it. It's best if there's one person that they can reach out and it's you. And you can distribute and do whatever you want to do once you make the initial contact, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
And just tell them they can text it. I can get text messages.
Well, I'm going to give the initial contact to the person who's going to reach out to you and say and ask you what is it you need. You talk to them, and y'all got it
mm-hmm.
there, right?
Okay.
Hold on. And your name is Mika, right?
Well, it's really Shamika. I just say Mika for short. It's Shamika.
Okay.
S-H-E-M-I-K-A.
Right. You will get a call, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Are you welcome. Blessings.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We told our people, like, listen, hey, it's best to trust in the Almighty. Because right now, man, we're catching it for that decision. It's a shame. We're catching it. And some of us were just starch proponents to a degree where a lot of us are suffering in silence, really, and are afraid to say that it's after that decision, you know? And because why? Some of our people were the main proponents in pushing certain agendas. So, you know, it's a shame. But, hey, as long as you're living, there's a chance. So we're going to do what we can to help. Kenneth has a comment. Yes, Kenneth.
Shalom, Elder. How are you?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. Yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. First and foremost, I just want to say all praises to the Most High, Ahayah, and His Son, Yeshaya, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ruach Kodesh. Pardon me for any background noise. I am working. I'm a truck driver right now. So.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us what you got.
Yes, sir. I live in Washington State. I'm in the Washington body. I got baptized this last February under Deacon Lafar.
Oh,
and the very next day, I got fired from my job. And,
well, I'm sorry for that. What'd you get fired for? What'd you get fired for?
Well, they had a company policy for winter weather. And so they said if the weather's bad enough to put chains on.
Okay, what do you mean a company policy for winter weather? What are you talking about?
Yes, sir. They had a company policy to, if the weather's bad enough to put chains on, then to just shut down and wait until the storm is over. And so when I was late with my delivery, they said because I was late, they let me go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that. You working on getting another job?
Yes, sir. I do have another job right now. I got another good
okay,
job,
good.
And my boss actually lets me have the Sabbath off, you know.
Hey,
so
brother, listen.
Amazing.
It's like this. It's like this. This. One door closes, another one opens. And I've always taken even the negative as a positive. It's as if the Most High is directing us where He needs us to be. So, you know, so that's good. Now you got a job, and on top of the job, you have a boss out of nowhere who finds favor and say, yeah, you can have off the Sabbath. Look at that. That's how
yes,
we work.
Sir.
So go on.
On that same point, The way the Most High works is just incredible because when I had lost that job, I signed up to come and stay at this homeless veterans shelter while I was getting back on my feet. And I've been there for several months. I got another good job. I got a car again. And
okay. Well, listen,
you know,
bro. I'm with you. But we gotta get up on it because I got a lot of
yes,
people
sir.
Waiting. So, what you got?
I wanted to tell you that in regards to the topic this evening.
Yeah.
I've been noticing how the way that the state is treating the veterans, and
how are they treating the veterans?
It just seemed very convenient to me that in the middle of winter they started renovating all the rooms and started moving everybody over into a communal room like you were showing earlier. And they've got this right before it happened, they started handing out everybody free laptops and free phones with programs on them that track you wherever you go. And you can't remove the program.
Interesting.
And
okay.
Just from a security standpoint, I just found it really convenient. Not that there's any such thing as a coincidence, but it's like they're
okay,
tracking
well,
where all the veterans are and seeing where they're going to go and.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting,
yeah.
Kenneth. Let me place you on hold. Let me, I gotta get the next call, but very good points you made there. All right? Quite interesting, brothers and sisters, because what Kenny's saying is that they're doing a lot of testing with those veterans and others, putting them in community rooms and all these others where now they're testing the tracking devices using veterans as a beta test. And I'll tell you this, that doesn't surprise me. And the other thing that doesn't, you have to realize right now where we're going at as far as, you know, right now they're going into assisted living. We're hearing that's the next phase in housing when it comes to assisted living as well as people moving out of main regular old housing authority into assisted living where they'll be taking their medications and all that, you know, in an assisted living place. So, hey, here we go. It seems like that's where we're going for the new housing, public housing, opposed to how it used to be before, where you go into a controlled setting for living instead of being free to operate like we used to under public housing. This is where it's going. And you know, in these places, you have to make sure that, you know, you're on schedule with your medications and all that. So, yeah. Here we go. Andrea has a comment.
Hi, elders. Hello, Am. Can you hear me?
I am blessed by the best. How are you? And his name is Aya.
Hi,
how are you, Andrea?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. The strange thing that I noticed in my neighborhood, I'm over here in Detroit, Michigan, and there's a lot of public storage units going up. There's like a lot of them, and they all like huge, and they look like prison complexes.
Interesting.
That was very strange.
What part of Detroit?
The West Side.
And is there any conversations amongst those in your community about these weird happenings?
Like, yeah, a lot of people say like they're going to start storing people in there.
Who's saying that?
That's
what
sister,
the people around you are speculating?
Yeah, a few people said that. Yeah, it was a few people like, don't get a storage unit. They're going to start storing people in there. Watch.
Lord.
It's a lot of them, like a lot.
That's interesting. I mean, what are the dimensions on these?
The public storage unit, they're huge. They're constantly building them. They're like really big, and they go like you look and it's like all the way down and it's like one big giant building and another big giant building and another one. And I'm like, are people really storing their stuff like that?
Sister, we've been talking about this, believe it or not, since 2008, 2009, about a lot of these so-called storage areas, how they can be conveniently manned and turned into something. You understand, for convenient housing. So let's keep our ear to the ground on that, on whether or not they're going to stay, the migrants can stay in some of these, because that's code words for, you know, eventually we can use anybody to be here. Migrants can be living in some of these self-storage places where it's already divided and the money can go towards renting storage space so that they can live there. Keep your eye on whether or not they'll do that, because usually it starts with them doing it with people who the majority of the citizens wouldn't bat an eye twice about because it isn't them, right? So let's keep an eye on if they say migrants, some of them are staying in storage places. Because when you go into these storage places, you can, it looks, a lot of these places, when you go to, you know, when you're moving your clothes and having your stuff there, your furniture, a lot of them actually look like holding cells. When you look,
yeah,
a lot of them look like holding cells. So let's keep our eyes on that. Thank you, sister. And stay away from those buildings, all right?
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, bless you. All right. All right, Dawada has a comment.
Shalom, Elder.
Blessings. How are you?
I'm doing great. All praise to the Most High for this call and for you and for Elder Lawyer, Elder Gaja, and what you do.
Oh, yeah. We're going to bring in Elder Gaja on Zoom, but go on.
Done.
If y'all can, Gaja, come on in.
Tell him on, Elder.
Talk to me.
Well, the comment I have, Elder, when you said the pay scale for our sisters, our black women, I work at a Fortune 500 company. I'm from Augusta, Georgia.
Yep.
And I see that our sisters are not competing with white males for a pay increase. They're competing with the LGBTQ community in my building. Because
yeah,
they have their own community. They have their own website. They have their own WebEx. They have meetings. They have monitors all around the whole building showing the LGBTQ community going out to the communities and doing events. And in these clips, they're mostly our sisters supporting them. But the sisters get no support on increasing in the business.
And that's a shame. They be using our sisters as a front for whatever initiatives they would like to bring forth initially. And then after that, after they use us as a front, they push our sisters to the side and bring forth their own agendas. So it's time for them to be like, listen, if you with us, it's going to come down to this. People can identify whatever they want to identify with. It's America. At the end of the day, if you are a part of our people and you identify with something else, then you got to go over there with that group. You can't identify. You can't be dabbling in both places. You can't say you're down with this group and all that and still think that you're down with us. It doesn't work that way. And vice versa. And it's time for us to make a clear distinction on moral grounds. If you're going to identify with something else, then that means you can't get nothing from where we stand. You go and be a part of that. Because it's that gray area they play in using our sisters. And at the end of the day, our sisters are discarded. And now they use us as a front to claim diversity, but then you have white people and others who haven't suffered like we suffered, have families who are a part of helping us suffer, now benefiting as migrants based on their sexual preferences. It's time for us to get rid of all that mess.
Elder.
It's time for our, and you know what? Listen, it's time for our sisters to stand up and not be used by these groups anymore. They have to stand up. Now you got a dude running around, well, who is Saucy Santana or something? He's running around. Whoever this guy is, he's running around now dissing sisters, making sisters think they're ugly if they don't have BBLs, eyelashes, and a lace front.
And it started off crazy. And I'm going to tell you,
it started off subtle. It started off with guilting women and saying, why can't you get your husband or your man to accept if your child chooses a different lifestyle? That's how they came with it, as a victim being discarded by their families. That's how they was able to get our sisters on board with support and saying, well, listen, the old empire narrative of them being rejected strictly for their choices, when that never existed in our community. No one was rejected for nothing. But whatever you do, and it's against the moral standards of our family, it can't be done here. So what do? They pulled on the heartstrings of our sisters and got our sisters to back it, and now the floodgates has opened up. And now the same people, because the brothers weren't going for it, the same people who have supported all of their groups are now what? Bashing and attacking the sisters who opened the door for them, who was always supporting them when no one else did. And folks, it's the same playbook. The same playbook they use in feminism. There's no way they would have executed feminism unless our sisters was able to go to the side and try to claim they want what the white women want, inequality. Using us so that the white woman who was a part of oppressing us back there doing Jim Crow and all that, giving them the lane to be called a minority amongst a people they help oppress. Same thing.
Come on, Elder.
They have to align themselves with our sisters first, and our sisters are so caring and don't want anyone else to suffer, don't want anyone to go through that. They're willing to sacrifice themselves for the embeddement of everyone else, and it's time that our sisters stand up and say no more. If it ain't me first, and sisters got to stand up, listen, it's going to be me and my man. That's it. If it's not for us together, take it. We're not for it. That's it. It's me and my, it's us and our men, period. Just like any other group, we're standing with our men now. That's how,
Come on,
I'm
Elder.
Sorry, you got the last word.
Yes, Elder, and I see it every day.
My son sent me a saucy Santana. I'm like, what is that? Lord, have
Elder,
mercy. If the Lord is not going to have it rain fire, but go on.
Yeah. This company only has about, I say, 2% black men in it. And out of 2%, 30% are straight men. And we have this ongoing thing that I'm telling my brothers all the time, hey, don't engage them. Brothers, here's a pamphlet. Let's talk about it. Don't engage them. They engage you, walk away. Because it's so sad if you say something negative, if they feel negative about the conversation, they go straight to HR. And
I've seen brothers lose their
jobs because of saying hi.
Brother, let me tell you, I thought we had it rough in the corporate world in the 2000s, where the only thing you had to worry about was probably a scorned HR woman. He didn't have anything going on the outside of the corporate job, and it was trying to flex on men with the opportunity being an HR person, right? I thought we had an issue there, and having to overcome the stigma of if you talk with someone, whether or not they're going to see it a certain type of way and run the HR. Can you imagine being in the corporate structure now? Where people who are offended over anything now can now have your job.
It's terrible, Elder. They just had their Halloween celebration, Elder. Elder, they had. I wasn't there at work that day, but they were taking pictures and putting them on the company website. There were some people with outrageous costumes, gender rolling.
Brother,
it was crazy.
Brother, listen, I remember one time when I was dealing with the corporate world, you know, calling floors and all that others and I dealt with, even Fortune 500 companies, like in the early 2000s. Let me tell you something. At that time, it wasn't as out as it is than what happened after Obama, where you would have a guy, you know that he was, you know, walking a little gingerly, but but outwardly he wasn't flexing like that. But the women, our sisters knew, okay. Yeah, right. So I never forget this story where I'm not into this thing where men are part of rumor mills.
Ooh.
Right? So I had this one guy, he was a white guy, and I understood that, you know, he was probably on the other side of things before they was claiming flags. And somehow I was able to intercept one of the emails that he was sending to a sister, you know, speaking about me as far as my work ethic through his view, and both of us were managers. Right? So I'm like, okay. So this is how, and you're talking about keeping rumors and arguments, and they'll sit around and cause conflict only to sit back to admire their handiwork without anyone knowing that they're actually agitating and stirring things up in the office. And that was back then when it wasn't everywhere, where it was, you probably have one per office, I thought, at that time.
Not today.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, brother, I seen that email, and I seen who it was CC'd to and all that. And, you know, I went to him one-on-one. I waited until everything was calm. You know, the floor was done. We was pulling down the numbers and doing what we had to do there, shutting down the computers to leave. And me and him had to shut down, you know, and it started letting, you know, the employees out. And I say, yeah, by the way, brother, I want to speak to you for a second. He's like, he did like this, and, you know, like he was clutching his pearls, you know. And I say, yeah, I need to speak to you, sir. He says, sure, Richard, sure. I'm like, okay, great. We go into the office, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, sir, let me make this clear to you. If there's something that you have to say concerning how I perform my duties, first of all, brother, you're not in position over me. You understand that? Then he says, what is this, Richard? I'm like, listen to me, sir. Don't ever send an email with my name in it, and you sitting there laughing and joking with me every day. And if there's something wrong that you can't tell me to my face, I find that very undermining and very disrespectful. Okay? Don't ever send an email with me in it. Are you threatening me? I'm like, sir, of course I'm not threatening you. I'm just telling you, men don't operate that way. All right? So what I'm telling you is, if you do it, then understand that there will be a recourse. You know, the next day I was at HR, and he says HR, and they said that I threatened the brother. Well, I mean, he wasn't a brother, he was a white guy. I'm like, wow. I didn't threaten him. I told him, no. I said, listen, he's not to send emails with my name in it, okay, which is a violation of my privacy and a violation of me with a peer whom I'm, when he does something wrong, I'm telling him, I train him on what to do, okay? So, no, we're not working like that. I'm like, listen, don't ever, I bet you what, brother, there was never another email with my name in it, okay? So the whole thing is, brother, they work behind scenes trying to get people fired so they can have more come in and get other people out of the way so their interests and people who are part of their interests are more attended to than us. And it's because our people always back other groups outside of understanding that these people have always attacked and destroyed us.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, brother.
I had a conversation with HR before.
I can't even imagine working in the corporate world right now, but go on.
And I had to go to HR because I made a statement to this one brother, Alternative Lifestyle. He walked up to me, and he said, hello. I said, well, how you doing? And then the dude flipped his hands down like his wrist was broken, and I said to myself, and I said it out loud, I said, you a boy, Damon. You a boy. And he went straight to HR and said that I offended him by calling him a boy gender. So that was something I had to go through, and then the whole ordeal was...
Hold up. Let me make it clear. You called a male, and you got pulled up for that?
Yes, Elder. Yes.
I wouldn't make it. Listen, just walk through.
Can't make it up, Elder.
Let me tell you, we're living in the days of Lot, my brother. The days of Lot, where they have taken full reins of power, and it's a shame when men have to walk on eggshells. What type of world is this, where a man cannot be a man? A man will not be readily accepted even in the corporate world unless he's willing to tone down his manhood.
Yes, that's the thing. Officers do not see masculine men. They see me and about five other brothers who are masculine. After that, they are got the LGBT community all around them.
Oh, man. What type of broke backness are we living under right now, brother? I just say keep your head forward. Keep your head on the swivel. Do your
job.
Yes,
sir. I'll pray to the Most High.
Pray continually. Okay. All right.
Yes,
bless you.
The water, Elder. The water.
Right.
Shalom.
All right. Ayindaba. Shalom. All right. Let's go through here. Bamaya has a question. Bamaya?
Okay. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, how are you? I mean, this thing has made a turn. This thing has turned into a whole different broadcast, but go on. We have to laugh to keep from crying, but go on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't disturb the flow of the show.
Oh no. I think you're gonna turn this thing back. We're gonna put this thing back on tracks, all right? We're gonna put it back on the rails. You know, it went all the way, but come on, talk to me.
Yes. Yes, this is Brother Vermeer. I couldn't help but comment on the topic, but also I do have a question. It never fails, it always tends to be an agenda every generation, you know, with the inner city, you know, we move in. You know, price of living goes up. We bring all the business. They move us out. And, you know, they got to figure out a plan of what to do with us because they don't want us in the inner cities once we raise the value of that area. So, and I'm sure that's you've gone over that. I mean, we know.
Yeah.
We know about that. You know, and in terms of like, I couldn't help but comment on the workforce. You know, I feel like Elder, you really do, you're really good at having a good faith conversation, and just the whole standpoint. You know, that's why I asked you about one of the big wigs and our community for the church, you know, in the church, because, you know, it's like everybody runs the other way, but it's a real good thing to be able to address or have these, you know, be a sober-minded about these things. And the workplace, our men, our people in the workplace, I think we know that, you know, they don't belong, and I think you're probably using wisdom because you understand a lot of us still have to work. But I mean, it's where it's going. I mean, it's like you either got to be a sodomite sympathizer or you don't have a job. You know, it's just that's what it is. You know, but that conflicts with the Word of God, and you know, so it's you know, we're looking at Jacob's trouble. Shortly, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't know how much responding I can do on that without, you know, saying, you know, allegedly and that the fact that, you know, it's your opinion on certain scenarios as far as that, you know, especially the sympathizer type deal. But the only thing I have to say is we're in the time of a lot. We're in the same exact spot before the Most High decided, you know what, it's time to rain fire down. That's where we are. And what happened, I mean, boy, did they do a bait and switch on us. That whole Barack Obama alleged Marxism plan to make us believe that this was some civil rights to help black people finally was really the biggest con in the history of the earth. When really the groups that we see benefiting was the plan the whole time, to put them in power at a key time in history. Don't forget, brother, before Barack Obama came on the scene, our brothers and sisters, we were ready to walk away from the electoral process altogether. We realized there was nothing left for us. And finally, we began to talk to one another until they pulled the con of all cons. And when that happened, he got in the first 4 years, and our people, with all that hope, saying, well, listen, you can't expect the brother to do anything right now. You know, he's up against the Republicans and all that. Give him 4 more years because he has to do it on the way out. You know what I mean? He has to do it on the way out because if he do it now, he won't be able to deal with the whole term that it takes to turn things around. Brother, 8 years is a long time. And right before he went out the door from his second term, we understood what the plan was. Gay marriage, and then equality in the workplace, as they call it, diversity, where now all the positions that was manned by black women and black men, now it's a free-for-all now. All that, what you would call, when it comes to equality on the job and certain number of jobs have to be given to black people and all that under the quota, all of that was gone because now it was open for how you identify sexually to get access to the jobs that were originally for us. It was over as far as power in the corporate world for our people who had status. And at that time, that destroyed our upward mobility when it comes to being able to provide for our families. And now they became the vanguard. They became the taskmasters over the community. And no money can come to any of our children, even those who have built the country, unless it comes through a diversity type of organization first, who siphon in the money to whom they choose. It's over for our people in these communities. Okay? It's over. And now, only thing they have to do now, my brother, they just have to just turn the vice now. They got a firm grip on our people, and now they're turning the vice, and now they're showing what they've always felt about us. And this is what happened when we began to align ourselves against our moral standings. For years, as a people, we understood all types of activity existed, but we kept a separation between those who want to operate immorally and those who tended, who really was conservative at heart. We're not liberal people. We were always people who was more so God first, family first. So this is what happens when we begin to compromise just because they would put a black face in front of us. Man, what a con job. But you know what, brother? I'm going to tell you, believe it or not, it's good. It's good. Anyone who trusted the system after what happened with Barack Obama, really what they're saying is they deserve everything they get out of the system. How can you be fooled again when the guy you thought was for you portrayed you for an entirely different group, not based off of them building the country like our people, based off of their sexual choices? I need you to check that out. And I'm being as, I'm straddling the fence on this as much as I can. I just want people to know at the very end of it, brother, what you're suffering is the same thing as Lot. You go to the book of Genesis and see it. Lot slowly but surely seeing what? The whole community of Sodom and Gomorrah slipping away. And it's because they were able to get themselves in positions of power so that they can finally execute their hatred against those who truly believe in God. And that's what's going on right now. All right?
Absolutely. I agree. I agree. Elder, for sake of time, I just want to ask the question. I've been in two academies.
it's great that I can tune in, but if I could somehow get in contact with an elder, that would be great. So I can try to get connected with the church.
Okay, what area are you in?
Well, I am in Washington, but again, if it's possible, I'd like to talk with an elder, that'd be great.
Washington, D.C., Washington State?
State.
Okay, yeah, I got to have somebody for you. Hold on. 2-6. Okay, Benaya, Washington State. I'm gonna get your rock to reach out to you, okay?
Okay, are you talking about the elder?
Yep, the elder, absolutely.
Okay, all right, appreciate that, elder. All right, thanks a lot.
I appreciate you, all right? Blessings?
Yes.
All right, I guess we can take one more call, 340 area code. All right, Sunshine, you got to jump on in. It's late.
Okay. Hi, Shalawal. Hi, Elder. It's hi.
Shalawal.
Hi, Shalawal. Oh, Elder. Okay, wow. Productions and spectacles are here, there, and everywhere, just as Christ told us. There are wars and rumors of wars, be it with the media push towards more of the medical, biological self-sacrifice under a claimed convenient cold, or with ways of further disenfranchising and tightening of that residential and financial noose around the neck of the poor. On and on, it has been a nonstop, no-holds-barred, perpetual assault on the saints of the Most High and unsuspecting or naive followers of this world, who many are of this world, and the brazen, bold, in-the-face admission by political talking heads in coded tongue that the ongoing sacrifice of our people that are not only continue and be expected, but it must be embraced as a norm and only intensify and amplify in our communities, all the while even in like a slap in our faces in disrespect, sidestepping anything to do with reparations. And it's a full-fledged, all-out floodgate of aggressive attempt to meld one hot pot of trials and tribulations into another to oppress the poor steadily, wearing out the saints. The housing is claimed inevitable, while reprieve for this loss shows further measures of downgrade of any status a U.S. citizen had. And it's a targeted blow of degradation for the poorest communities, who are predominantly the children of Israel, and herding the people into tiny houses, temporary, movable, and even guarded facilities of stipulated or regulated trailer house prisons. And at the head of our herds are the hirelings, the betrayers of the sheep, to create the hook, line, and sinker social cataclysm, so that blood touches blood, and the whole world, and especially one Israelite to another, is frustrated under the cover of migration and multiculturalism, as before in the days of old when the kingdom split. But what is not considered fully seen by the blinded, while all this betrayal is going on to create such a cataclysm, is the unshakable prophecy. And what also is unconsidered is how that prophecy of the word let us know that all these things should come to pass, but the end is not yet. So whatever social cataclysm is scheduled against us will fail, because it will be cut short in its time and ultimately languish, so that we, according to the word, will receive our promise, a promise that will never fail because of the Most High's love for our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it won't continue. Everything that they do will be void. And we can identify the betrayers, the puppets and puppeteers in high and low places, as fruitless fools that will in this world, with all their sound and fury, continue to signify nothing because they have not hope. They have not the blood of the Lamb, which is and always will be Christ Yeshua. And that's all I wanted to say, elders. Praise the Most High. Bless you.
All right. Shalom, shalom, shalawam, shalawam, shalawam. What a great call. She always ended. I think she write all that down too. Lord bless her soul. All right. That concludes our broadcast, but I want y'all to hear a song. I copyrighted it today. And there's a surprise because I said I was going to